אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We're reading from בעל הסולם. We're reading from the introduction to פנים מאירות ומסבירות. As always, you can ask questions on kav.tv. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson.
I'm reminding you again, right next to yourselves, all those notes on this introduction, so that by the time it's done, you'll have a certain image, a certain picture of the process. This thing is very attractive. All various people in the world, because no one understands this story with the snake, the serpent, Adam and Eve, the tree of knowledge, the apple, their banana, whatever, doesn't matter. Those things are misunderstood. And here, we need to explain it to ourselves, to understand, and to know how to explain to them in such a way that they will understand a little more, a little more, a little more, so we'll know how to draw them in, because the story by itself is attractive. So let's go.
Item 19. Our sages said, he is the evil inclination, he is Satan, he is the angel of death. He descends and incites, ascends and slanders, he comes and he takes his soul. This is because two general corruptions occurred because of the sin of the tree of knowledge. The first corruption is the matter of ascends and slanders. He had been tempted to eat from the tree of knowledge and acquired a vessel of reception of the vacant space in the structure of his body. That, in turn, caused hatred and remoteness between the eternal light of life that the Creator had breathed in Adam's nostrils and Adam's body. It is similar to what our sages said, all who is proud, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. This is so because pride stems from the vessels of reception of the vacant space, from which the upper light had already departed from the time of the Tzimtzum onward. It's written in the Zohar that the Creator hates the bodies that are built only for themselves. For this reason, the light of life fled from him, and this is the first corruption. The second corruption is the descent of the 288 sparks that were already connected in the system of Kedusha. They were given and descended to the system of Sidra Acha and the Klipot, so the world would not be destroyed. This is so because the system of Kedusha cannot sustain and nourish people in the world due to the hatred that had been made between the Kedusha and the Kelim of the vacant space. This follows the law of opposites. He and I cannot dwell in the same abode. Hence, the 288 sparks were given to the system of the Sitra Acha so they would nurture and sustain man and the world through the incarnations of the souls in the bodies. As it is written, 10,000 for a generation and for 1,000 generations until the end of correction. Now you can see why they are called klipot. It is because they are like the peel on a fruit. The hard peel envelops and covers the fruit to keep it from any filth and harm until the fruit is eaten. Without it, the fruit would be corrupted and would not fulfill its purpose. Thus, you find that the 288 sparks were given to the klipot to sustain and qualify reality until they connect and attain their desired goal.
Again.
הוא היצר הרע, הוא השטן, הוא מלאך המוות,
שיורד ומסית ועולה ומקטרג ובא ונוטל נשמתו. והוא, כי בית קלקולים כוללים נעשו בסיבת החטא של עץ הדעת.
The above mentioned second corruption is a matter of comes and takes his soul. I wish to say that even that tiny part of the soul that remains for a person as sweat of the previous life is also robbed by the Sita Achar through that same bestowal that she gives him from the 288 sparks. To understand this, you need a clear picture of the Sita Achar as she really is. Thus, you will be able to examine all her ways. I've already shown in Panim Aspirot that all the parts of reality of the lower world are branches, extending from their roots like an imprint from a seal of from the upper world, and the upper from the one above it, and that from its own upper. It is written in the Zohar that the Creator hates the bodies that are built only for themselves. For this reason, the light of life fled from him, and this is the first corruption. The second corruption is the descent of the 288 sparks that were already connected in the system of Kedusha. They were given and descended to the system of the Sitra Acha and the Klipot, so the world would not be destroyed. This is so because the system of Kedusha cannot sustain and nourish the people in the world due to the hatred that had been made between the Kedusha and the Kelim of the vacant space. This follows the law of opposites. He and I cannot dwell in the same abode. Hence, the 288 sparks were given to the system of the Sitra Acha so they would nurture and sustain man and the world through all the incarnations of the souls in the bodies. As it is written, 10,000 for a generation and for 1,000 generations until the end of correction. Now you can see why they are called klipot. It is because they are like the peel on a fruit. The hard peel envelops and covers the fruit to keep it from any filth and harm until the fruit is eaten. Without it, the fruit would be corrupted and would not fulfill its purpose. Thus, you find that the 288 sparks were given to the Klipot to sustain and qualify reality until they connect and attain their desired goal.
Clear, right? So, from the will to receive, you have a vacant space. That's the first corruption. The second corruption is that 288 sparks were delivered to it that enliven or sustain the will to receive.
Now you can see why they are called. The above-mentioned second corruption is the matter of comes and takes his soul. I wish to say that even this tiny part of the soul that remains for the person as sweat of the previous life is also robbed by the Sitra Acha that through that same bestowal that she gives him from the 288 sparks that have fallen into her. To understand this, you need a clear picture of the Sitra Acha as she really is. Thus, you will be able to examine all her ways. I've already shown in Panim Masbirot, branch 6, that all the parts of reality of the lower world are branches, extending from their roots like an imprint from a seal from the upper world, and the upper from the one above it, and that upper from its own upper.
ותדע שכל הבחן שיש מענפים על השורשים הוא רק ביסודות.
Know that any discernment in branches about the roots is only in the basis of their substance. This means that the substances in this world are corporeal bases, and the substances in the world of Yetzirah are spiritual bases. relating to the spirituality in Yetzirah. So it is in each and every world. However, the occurrences and the conducts in them have the same value from each branch to its root, like two drops of water, equal to each other. And like the imprint whose form is identical to the seal from which it was imprinted. Once you know this, we can seek that branch that the upper Sitra Acha has in this world, and through it, we will also know its root, the upper Sitra Acha. We find in the Zohar, portion Tazria, that the afflictions in people's bodies are branches of the upper Sitra Acha. Hence, let's take the animate level and learn from it. We find that the sprouting that occurs in its body through attainment of pleasure is what proliferates its life. For this reason, Providence has imprinted in the little ones that every place they rest their eyes on gives them pleasure and contentment, even the most trifling things. This is so because the level of the small must proliferate so sufficiently to grow and sprout. And this is why their pleasure is copious. Thus, you find that the light of pleasure is the progenitor of life. However, this law applies only in pleasures that come to the level as a whole. But in a pleasure of separation, when the pleasure is concentrated and received only by a separated part of the level of the animal, we find the opposite rule. If there is a defective place in its flesh, which demands scratching and rubbing, the act of scratching carries its reward with it, as one feels great pleasure pursuing it. However, this pleasure is sodden with a drop of the potion of death. If one does not govern one's desire and pays the haunting demand, the payment will increase the debt. In other words, according to the pleasure from scratching, so will the affliction increase, and the pleasure will turn to pain. When it begins to heal again, a new demand for scratching appears, and at a greater extent than before. And if one still cannot govern one's desire and pays to saturate the demand, the affliction will grow as well. Finally, it brings it a bitter drop, poisoning all the blood in that animal. You find that it died by receiving pleasure, since it is a pleasure of separation, received only by a separate part of the level. Hence, death operates in the level in the opposite manner from the pleasure administered to the entire level.
הגיע לפנינו צורת הסיטרה אחרא העליונה מראשה עד עקבה.
Here we see before us the form of the upper Sitra Achra from head to toe. Her head is the will to receive only for herself, and not to bestow outside of herself, as is the property of the demand in the afflicted flesh with respect to the entire animal. The body of the Sitra Achra is a certain form of demand that is not going to be paid. The repayment one makes increases the debt and the affliction even more, as with the example of receiving pleasure by scratching. The toe of the Sitra Acha is the drop of the potion of death, which robs it and separates it from the last spark of life it had left, like the drop of the potion of death that intoxicates all the blood in the animal. This is the meaning of what our sages said. In the end, it comes and takes his soul. In other words, They said that the angel of death comes with a drawn sword and a drop of poison at its tip. The person opens his mouth, he throws the drop inside, and he dies. The sword of the angel of death is the influence of the Sidra Acha, called Cherev, sword, or ruin, because of the separation that grows according to the measure of reception, and the separation destroys him. One is compelled to open one's mouth, since one must receive the abundance for sustenance and persistence from her hands. In the end, the bitter drop at the tip of the sword reaches him, and this completes the separation to the last spark of his breath of life.
Meaning, we see that according to our nature, pleasure is more important than life. When the angel of death comes and says, here, take the pleasure, he cannot resist the pleasure, although immediately after, he is deceased. The pleasure rules. And this is something we have to understand, that only the reforming light can disconnect us from the pleasure that brings us death. We'll go over it a few more times for the time being. This is not all because those 288 sparks were given to the Sidra Acha, and they descended the klipot, the shells. The same light that would shine earlier in the upper nine can now shine in Malchut. And a person, reluctantly, can't do it. Otherwise, he does everything in order to receive that light. We will go over it. We just want to get acquainted for the first time.
Item 20.
As a result of these two corruptions,
remember that two corruptions, the restriction and the descent or the fall of the 288 sparks below the restriction.
As a result of these two corruptions, man's body was corrupted as well, as it is precisely adapted by creation to receive the abundance of its sustenance from the system of Kedusha. This is so because in any viable act, its parts are guarded from any surplus or scarcity. An act that is not viable and sustainable is because its parts are unbalanced and there is some shortage or surplus in them. As he says in the poem of unification, of all your work, not a thing you have forgotten. You did not add, and you did not subtract. It is a mandatory law that perfect operations stem from the perfect operator. However, when a person passes from the system of Kedusha to the system of Sidra Acha, due to the barnacle attached to his construction by the tree of knowledge, many parts of him are already in surplus, needless, since they do not receive anything from the abundance of sustenance dispensed from the authority of the Sidra Acha. It is as we find with the loose bone, seen in the Zohar, Midrash, Ha'Ne'elam, Toldot, and also in a certain portion of each and every organ. Hence, one must receive sustenance into one's body more than is necessary. Since the surplus joins every demand that rises from the body. Hence, the body receives for them. However, the surplus itself cannot receive its share. Thus, its share remains in the body as surplus and litter that the body must later eject.
שהגוף מחויב אחר כך להפליט לחוץ. ונמצאים כלי המאכל והעיכול מתייגעים לריק ולבטלה בשביל...
In consequence, the feeding and digesting tools exert in vain. They diminish and lessen to extinction because their sentence is predetermined, as that of any imbalanced act destined to disintegrate. Thus you find that from the perspective of the construction of the body, too, its death depends on cause and effect from the tree of knowledge. Now we've been awarded learning and knowing the two contradicting opposite conducts. The sustenance and keeping of the created beings has already passed from the system of Kedusha to the system of the Sita Acha because of the barnacle of the great will to receive for oneself, connected to the created beings by the eating from the tree of knowledge. This induced separation, oppositeness, and hatred between the system of Kedusha and the structure of the bodies of the created beings in this world. When the Kedusha can no longer sustain and nurture them from the high table, to not destroy reality and to induce an act of correction for them, it gives the collective abundance of the sustenance of reality, her 288 sparks, to the system of Sitra Acha, so they will provide for all creations in the world during the correction period. Hence, the conducts of existence are very confused, since evil sprouts from the wicked. And if the abundance is reduced to the created beings, it certainly brings ruin and destruction. And if abundance is increased, it brings excessive force of separation to the receivers. As our sages said, he who has 100 wants 200. He who has 200 wants 400. It is like the separated pleasure that the separated and defected flesh senses, where increased pleasure increases separation and affliction. Thus, self-love greatly increases in the receivers, and one swallows one's friends alive. Also, the life of the body shortens, since the accumulation of reception brings the bitter drop at the end sooner, and wherever they turn, they only condemn. Now you can understand what's written in the Tosfot, page 104. Until one prays that Torah will enter one's body, one should pray that no delicacies will enter one's body. This is because the form of self-reception, which is the opposite of Kedusha, increases and multiplies by the measure of pleasure that one's body acquires. Thus, how can one obtain the light of Torah within one's body when he is separated and in complete oppositeness of form from the Kedusha, and there is great hatred between them? As with all opposites, they hate each other and cannot be under the same roof. Therefore, one must first pray that no delights or pleasures will enter one's body, as the deeds in Torah and Mitzvot will accumulate. One slowly purifies and inverts the form of reception to be in order to bestow. You find that one equalizes one's form with the system of Kedusha, and the equivalence and love between them returns, as prior to the sin of the tree of knowledge. Thus, one is awarded the light of the Torah, since he entered the presence of the Creator.
Notzvika. Notzvika.
It's beautiful. It's kind of complicated, but beautiful.
Baal Sulam is happy.
Yeah, but basically one sentence caught my attention. He says, in order for reality to not be destroyed and for the correction to be ordered, there's the sparks from the Sitra Achra sustain the whole world. What does he mean?
He means that the will to receive is that matter of creation in which everything is built. It needs to evolve. And it needs to evolve from a state where it was created and begins to be separate from the Creator. When a person begins to feel the will to receive in him exists and rules, and we have to work with it, and he depends on it. So it turns out we need to sustain the will to receive, to develop it. This is called up to 13 years. In short, our development comes from the will to receive, and the corrections can happen over the will to receive. But without its development, and unless it wants more and more in the form of I shall rule, then we have nothing to correct. The Creator cannot build a creature, cannot establish a creature that is not from the will to receive. Otherwise, there will be no connection between him and the creature. And that's why the whole process is set up in this way. We have to develop in our will to receive until we reach the degree of Pharaoh, and we begin to decide that we're unable to remain under the rule of Pharaoh. We take all the vessels from him, all the desires, all the qualities, everything. We take everything from Egypt, truly everything. With this big will to receive that we developed, we come out of Egypt. We don't even know exactly what do we have in our possession, because we are fleeing as slaves. And later, when we begin to work, thanks to the reforming light with the will to receive, we begin to feel what did we truly achieve when we were in captivity at Pharaoh's, how much he's able to receive is our help against. Therefore, there has to be a stage, a very important, long, great stage, where we are under the control of the will to receive, and we simply need to locate it as a foreign rule. For that, we were given a group, so each one would receive an influence from his friends. So everyone would talk about the foreign rule we're under, the rule of Pharaoh, who's controlling us. And the friends remind one another of that. And then they disagree with remaining under that rule. And they begin to defend themselves. But unless we work together, a person by himself will not be able to do anything, neither know nor understand or deal with all of it, because as they explained to us in Egypt, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. When they wanted to build the cities of Pitom and Ramses, they wanted to connect while still in Egypt. They wanted to connect themselves to, in order to bestow, and they couldn't. Because while still in Egypt, you cannot perform such an act. Rather, you need to disconnect from Egypt in order to receive. You need to come out, undergo various corrections, and then, and only in this way, when they are free, can they begin to build a different system through the reforming light? But they cannot do it in Egypt because they wanted to do it, but the reforming light doesn't come to Egypt. Why? Because the rule of the will to receive doesn't let them be in Arvut, in connection between them. And so they are not suitable for the reforming light, and it cannot influence them. That's why they have to disconnect from Egypt. They have to connect between them in Arvut. To the extent of the Arvut between them, the upper light influences them according to the law of equivalence of form. And they begin to go from Malchut to Bina, and then from Bina to Keter. From Malchut to Bina, they go through the desert, and then they go into the land of Israel.
Well, it's a lot of details, many, many details here.
Gradually, you will see there are all details of our spiritual work.
Right, but when with all these technical items and details and all that, what can you summarize as one most important sentence? What should be the core, the central theme?
What's important to me, what?
Exactly.
To arrange everything. Arrange it. That's what how it's written.
Okay, the order of the work of the priest, but what's the motif that really should guide us?
The connection between us, from which we turn to the Creator and constantly ask, we nag. Without connecting in a request between us, we are not even similar to that nagging baby.
He writes a lot about first corruption, second corruption. What's the difference between the first correction and second correction? What's same between them, similar?
The first corruption is when the will to receive was vacated of the light, it entered under the restriction, and the second corruption is in addition to being emptied of light and has nothing, there's an illumination that happened in it, which happened when the 288 sparks came down into the will to receive in order to receive, and they constantly tempt a man. Look, I have everything, food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. What's up with you? Just have a good time in life. Isn't that what they say in your office? Let's enjoy life. What are you doing there? Just arrange yourselves flights abroad, and that's how you go through life.
He describes here a certain kind of catch. Trap. On the one hand, we live in order to receive pleasure. On the other hand, if we get pleasure, we die. And he doesn't describe how we come out of that.
Hang on, we're not done yet. He's just telling you that Malchut is in, the death is in the will to receive if you want to use it as you want to use it now. But if you enter the correct environment, it will show you that life, true life, is elsewhere. Not in using the will to receive that is, for the time being, controlling you. Then they tell you, you wish to come out of this will to receive so that something else will control you to acquire a different life, not the sweat of life that those 288 sparks that fell there. So if you want that, let's go, let's connect together, and then we'll be able to attain the light of life. Now, why was it done in this way, where we have to be between these two states? Either fall into the Sitra Acha that descended into the empty space, or to rise above it. We need to scrutinize it. What is the true profit. After all, to being under one rule or another, for the time being, we can't feel it. They say, over there it's not, here it's, yes, we can't feel it yet. What is it all about? We don't know. Connie, you did well yesterday in the lighting of the candles. I enjoyed it. Very nice.
It's a big privilege.
Who wants to light them today? You agree? Yes or no?
He said yes.
Good.
Yeah, we already have someone who lights the candles every day. If someone wants to replace someone else,
who's today?
Then
no, Ken.
It's hard for me to find the exact sentence in Hebrew, but
it says the creator hates the bodies that are built themselves.
Yeah.
So, מזה יש לי שתי שאלות.
This brings me to questions. How is it possible that the creator hates something? And then,
שונה זה נקרא נמצא בהפכיות, הצורה. הוא בטבע אחד ומה...
Hates meaning in opposition of form. He is in one nature and something is in another nature. That's the meaning of hate.
He built the bodies. They're built for themselves.
So what exactly does it mean that he hates them? But he built something to be opposed to? Or I don't understand. Betach.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the creator creates all the problems, all the troubles. He's keeping the bodies. The Sidra Acha is sustaining it, keeping it alive, and you keep the Klipot alive. Yeah, the creator does everything, but it's all to our benefit.
So it feels like this is permission to complain to him.
Complain. Except to whom? To him.
What's the right complaint?
The right complaint is that you made all these klipot, this evil inclination, you did that. So please, I'm asking you, correct it. Yeah? Go ahead, complain. Cry out. Of course, it's legitimate. But understand that this demand that you have for the Creator, who are you turning to? The Creator also, right? And who arranges it in your head to complain? Also the Creator.
He built us to love ourselves, so we'd come to hate ourselves like he does.
He doesn't hate us. He hates, meaning he is opposite our nature, which he created.
We need to remain opposite. But also...
No, don't remain opposite. We need to ask him that just as you created us so bad, so evil, we ask you, please make us good. That's it. The fact that you know how to do the bad, I know, I see that. Very well. You know how to do it. There isn't a greater expert than you in doing all the bad. Now I want to see you can turn this bad into good. And do it, please. And I will bless you.
We've gone over the last couple of days of two opposites in the same subject. And how we need to maintain these two opposites.
Ken, Ken, shum davar lo ne'elam.
Yeah, nothing disappears. Everything remains, except everything acquires a new position, a new place, correct place, one compared to the other. And you cannot eradicate from the world the sitra achra, and it has to exist because it's keeping the klipa that is for it, and the sanctity that's against it. Everything has to stay. Ultimately, we understand that nothing disappears and nothing was created for nothing without need. Rather, each and every detail, even the smallest, has a great need. There's a great need for every crumb of creation. And it's important, like the entire creation. Yeah, we'll come to know it gradually. We just scan through the book.
Is the right prayer from the Creator to ask Him to cancel the pleasures in the will to receive?
You can ask whatever you want.
Is it a correct prayer?
Correct prayer has to be aimed not at canceling the pleasures in the will to receive. The correct prayer is not against what the Creator did. It's what He did. Rather, the correct prayer is about the corrections. It's an important point. The correct prayer is about corrections. I'm not asking Him, take from me what you created. Do me a favor, take the will to receive from me. I don't want to be an egoist. So what, He will make a zero out of me? I need to be even greater because my will to bestow is built on top of the growing will to receive. So the prayer is incorrect. We're asking for corrections.
Not to cancel the will to receive, but the pleasure in the will to receive. The will to receive can remain.
It's the same. It's the same. What do you mean? Pleasure. So I won't need to overcome the will to receive, so I will not work with it.
Only through that restriction I can reach bestowal.
What kind of restriction will you make without a pleasure? What will you restrict?
The will to receive the pleasure, but to have a pleasure from bestowing maybe something else.
Think about what you're saying. You can't cancel the pleasure in the will to receive because you need to turn specifically on top of that, we need to build the importance of the Creator, of spirituality, of the will to bestow. It's built on top of the great will to receive that is growing and growing.
So what's the restriction?
One who climbs on two legs, left and right, left and right. First, the great will to receive rises, and then you can build against it a desire to bestow. Only in this way.
No, Rachamim,
one question.
How is it possible to balance between pleasure and pain so that pleasure will not put the person to death? Like with the scratching, if a person doesn't stop, then he dies at the end. So how?
Only through the connection to the goal. If a person connects to the goal, he will know how to distinguish the pleasure in the scratching and the pleasure in the correct state.
Ravi writes here that he has to pray first so that the pleasures and delights will not enter his body. And according to the many actions in Torah and Mitzvot, he gradually merits transforming the form of reception in order to bestow. We just said that we don't pray to cancel pleasures. So I'm not understanding something about what he writes.
Well, it's still not clear. Let's continue and see.
And what does it mean according to the many actions in Torah and Mitzvot, which is what he says comes afterwards?
Let's continue. It will become clearer. You're right, the questions are correct, but the answers are not there yet.
No.
There are two sentences where I don't understand the terms. He ate from the tree of knowledge and the vacant space, the concept of the vacant space.
Additional will to receive, very big one, a spiritual one.
What's the, where is it, how is it created?
No. We're not even getting into it. We're just listening to what he's writing.
And then he says that its upper part separated from there, from the restriction. What's the connection between these concepts, restriction and vacant space?
That first there was the will to receive, then there was the prohibition to use it, meaning restriction on the will to receive in order to receive. That's why this will to receive became a vacant space. And into that vacant space, the 288 sparks will fall later.
Thank you.
Guys, we're just listening. We're just going over it. We'll go over it again. We'll get more specific until it will get absorbed. Where are we?
Ken. Ot chafalef. Ve'ata muvan heitev lama lo muvat tshuvatam shel ha'malachei mala bidvar briyat ha'adam she'emadnu ba'midrash kanal.
Item 21. Now it is thoroughly understood why the answer of the angels regarding man's creation, which we learned in the Midrash, is not presented. It is because even the angels of mercy and righteousness did not agree to the present man, since he has gone completely out of their influence and has become completely dependent on the Sitracha. The Midrash ends, he took truth and threw it to the earth. They all said immediately, let truth rise from the earth. This means that even the angels of mercy and righteousness regretted their consent, as they never agreed that truth would be disgraced. This incident occurred at the time of the eating from the tree of knowledge, when truth was absent from the management of the sustenance of reality, since the scrutinizing force imprinted in men by creation, which operates by the sensation of bitter and sweet, has weakened and failed, as it is written in item 17. This is so because the provision for sustenance, which are 288 different b'chinot, were already as clear as day, connected in the system of Kedusha, and the palate tastes its food to attract in full all that is beloved and sweet and reject all that is bitter and bad, so no man will fail in them. However, after the first tasting of the tree of knowledge, for which the gadlut form of self-reception has stuck to them, their body and the kedusha became two opposites. At that time, the abundance of sustenance, which is the 288 b'chinot, went to the hands of the sitra acha. You find that the 288 sparks that had already been sorted were remixed by the Sitra Acha. Thus, a new form was made in reality, the form whose beginning is sweet and whose end is bitter. This was because the form of the 288 has been changed by the Sitra Acha, where the light of pleasure brings separation and a bitter drop. This is the form of falsehood, the first and foremost progenitor of every destruction and confusion. It is written, he took truth and threw it to earth, to the earth. Thus, because of the serpent, a new discernment was added to men, the active cognitive force. It operates by discernments of true and false, and one must use it throughout the correction period, for without it, the benefit is impossible, as written in item 17. Come and see all the confusion caused by the fall of the 288 sparks into the hands of the Sitra Acha. As before they tasted from the tree of knowledge, the woman could not even touch the forbidden thing, as written in item 17. By mere nearness to the tree of knowledge, she tasted bitterness that tasted like death. For that reason, she understood and added the prohibition on touching. After the first eating, when the Sitra Acha and falsehood already controlled the sustenance of reality, the prohibition became so sweet in its beginning that they could no longer retire from it. This is why he said, I've eaten and I shall eat more. Now you understand why the reward in the Torah is intended only for the ripe bodies. It is because the whole purpose of the Torah is to correct the sin of the tree of knowledge, which induced the confusion of the conduct of the sustenance of reality. It is for this correction that the Torah was given, to elevate the 288 sparks of Kedusha once more. At that time, the conduct of the sustenance will return to the Kedusha, and confusions will cease from the modes of the sustenance of reality. Then people will be brought to their desired wholeness by themselves solely by the discernment of bitter and sweet, which was the first operator prior to the sin of the tree of knowledge. The prophets, too, speak only of this correction. As our sages said, all the prophets prophesied only for the days of the Messiah. This is the meaning of the restoration of the modes of sustenance of the world under sordid providence, as it was prior to the sin. But for the next world implies the end of the matter, which is the equivalence of form with the Maker. Neither has the eye seen a God beside you. It is also written that in the days of the Messiah, if Egypt does not arise, corporeality will not be on them, meaning through discernment of good and bad.
So this is sort of an initial explanation about the correction process. All right. We have a little bit more time that we need to go to Hanukkah.